You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, it was good.
No Mace today. Andy Kamenetsky is in for Mace. John is here with us. And guys, we've all got our eyes on USA Iran right now.
This is the most nerve-wracking thing I think. Can you imagine if you had family members in this game?
No.
It's like, I
can't watch my kid play high school baseball.
But can you imagine this?
No.
Can you imagine playing and you're representing your country and it's everything
about
to
about 5 minutes left in extra time, USA up a goal.
And Iran just almost scored. Like, yep. They missed by inches. And think about that. If they score, the whole country, like, I just left. I was at the golf course this morning, and I left, and there are like 100 people in the bar watching this game. And none of them could tell you anybody that plays for Team USA. But they're super into it. We are, Andy and I are the official Team USA post-game show today.
That's right.
Win or lose,
what a
AK.
Gift for these listeners, having me here to break it all down.
You should have heard our play-by-play.
I might have a nervous breakdown if they blow this.
My insight so
after
far.
Last night's sleep, I can't take it. The Lakers completely wet the bed and blew a game last night. I can't have Team USA do it
by
today.
By the way, John's call for the end of the game was the... Like, I don't know how to describe it.
Like the most depressing thing in the history of the world?
No, you know what it was? It was a home call that just, everything just happened so quick and you couldn't describe it. It was every emotion of a Laker fan, but you have a microphone in front of you and you got to be professional about it. John, I'm hearing the call and I'm like, yeah, I feel exactly what you just said. Literally exactly what you just said.
I was in shock that they lost. We probably have it somewhere back there, Emily. Here it is. Oh, good. Rebound loose. Halliburton's got it. Halliburton down the middle. Halliburton throws it outside. Nebhard for the win. Got it. Oh. Nebhard hit it at the buzzer, and the Lakers lose by one.
What can I tell you about that Nebhard?
The got it was his, like, a knife just going through, like, every Laker fan. Got it.
Well, and I went back and looked. It left his fingertips at 0-0-1.
Yeah.
Like, it was clear. He got it off, but there was no...
Well, you could feel your energy building, and then got it. Yeah. I mean, what are you supposed to...
Freaking got it.
Who got the
card? There was just nothing to... It was a really fun night at Crypto.com. This kid, Jamie Murray from Downey, hit this $75,000 MGM Big Shot jackpot, and which we hadn't had somebody win since before COVID.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the building's buzzing. Some military veteran, a woman, they put the camera on her, and she took off her prosthetic leg and poured a drink in it and drank out of her leg, and they made her fan of the game.
That's so awesome.
It was, like, super fun, and then just the whole air gets let out of the building.
Yeah, it was, take your pick of what was the most depressing part of it.
I want to make it clear that I'm not blaming either this woman, and thank you for her service, and also as well... the guy, his name,
Jamie Murray.
Who
now is on NBA Today. I mean, like,
right.
He came up and did an interview with Michael and I. And
they should have been celebrating, and they were, you know, sort of emblematic of a night with a lot of celebrating, a lot of partying that ultimately turned into too much partying. Because some of that partying was actually happening on the court. Like, Russell Westbrook was in full-on, are you not entertained mode?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Which, for a while, was working great. I was entertained.
So is the shot from half court or from the other foul line?
Half court.
Half court, okay. Yeah. So you got X amount of dollars line, 75 grand, like Jamie Murray won.
It builds.
Right.
It builds throughout the season. Right. So, if you do it tomorrow night and you miss, they add to it. I think they add 5,000 every
time. I think you're right.
So you get selected out of the crowd, but you get the choice of the game. Do you want the half-court shot? Do you want the 100-foot putt? Do you want
the field goal?
The field goal? Like, which event do you think you would have the best shot at?
I think the field goal's easy.
But what if it's like a distance, like 40 yards?
40 I could do. 45 I start sweating a little, and 50 I don't think I could do. We one day were screwing around, me and Mason and Dave Singer, and this is back when we were doing the show in Hollywood, and some guy had missed a 30-yarder with the game in line. I said, I haven't kicked in...
Were you a kicker?
No. I played soccer in high school, but I said, I haven't kicked in 20 years, and I could make a 30.
Oh, no.
Oh, and they're screaming for a handball now. This is too nerve-wracking.
Do they go back and review VAR now, handballs?
Not always.
There's a minute left.
There is a minute left.
At least.
And the USA, by the way, I don't like the decision they've made. They've completely gone into a defensive shell. They're not even trying on offense. And now, okay, so here's the complaint. Let's see if something happens.
First of all, he's offsides.
Okay. No, he's not.
No,
offside.
He's not offsides.
Oh,
that's for sure.
Kick, yep.
Oh my goodness. What are they
complaining about?
I don't know.
There's nothing.
They just wanted to complain because
they
didn't score.
To complain about.
Apparently they
I think they say number 20 in the US pushed him from behind.
But fouls you don't go back in VAR, correct? That's either called or not called.
Well, they're looking at it. And I'm not sure what they're doing. Emily, do you know what they're doing?
No, I can't hear what they're saying.
He grabbed him.
He barely had his hand on his shoulder. That's a dive. That is a total dive.
Well, he's diving for the ball.
As someone who's watched soccer for almost 45 minutes, I feel qualified to diagnose that as a dive.
So we're now in extra time. Yeah, we're in the 99th minute.
Basically,
I think they're going to give him one more shot at it here.
Well, that should end it right there, right? The ball's in the other end all of a sudden.
No, but you add time.
Let's get another one. Let's get another one.
And if U.S. scores, then it's over. Drill it.
No. Or softly tap it to the goalie.
This is so nerve-wracking. I don't know what. And by the way, so if Iran were to get a goal right here, then it's over.
Yeah,
Team USA just flies home.
Oh,
you know, it's like that's how. And then the whole country is like, okay, I'm done with soccer.
So finish your story about kicking field goals.
Okay, so then Singer said, I have a football in my trunk. And Hollywood High is a mile from here. Is it over, Em?
I can't hear it. Yes,
yeah,
it's final.
Final. There you go.
USA wins.
It's done. 1-0.
Escape. They're all the USA players are literally in the fetal position on the field. Wow.
It's awesome.
Wow. So, all right, so they play Saturday against the Netherlands.
Netherlands, yes.
All right, so the singer goes, I got a football in my car. Let's go right now, and I'll take a cell phone. And you can, I'll hold, you kick, let's see if you did it, and I hit the post. But I had the distance.
Okay.
With no warm-up.
I feel like that half court, not that it's easy, but if you gave me 30 shots at it, I feel like I'm going to get one. Like, I'm not making a field, I couldn't kick a 30-yard field goal to save my life. A putt,
depends how long it is.
Say it's 40 feet. Yeah. You're not going to make more than one out of 100.
Yeah, then it's just a luck. Although you made that 140-footer against me that one
Can
year.
Can I tell you my favorite part about that?
When Morales gave up on you.
When he quit before I hit the putt? Yes, I remember that.
It was Tommy Lamb and I against Travis and Morales, and we're on the 17th hole, and we're up one. Tommy and I are up one. And Trav has like a 40-foot putt that if he makes it, then the match would be tied. But he's not going to make it. And I'm in.
You're in the hole.
I'm in with like a four, and Travis is putting for a three, but it's like 40 feet. And Morales starts congratulating me,
and I yelled at him.
And Travis, no. The best part, Travis goes, "Get away from me!" To his teammate, said, "You're a quitter. Get away from me." Blah blah.
Morales exited. He's like, "I'm getting out of here."
And Travis rolls in this long, winding putt to tie it.
Oh my god!
And then on 18, I had to make a putt. I thought for sure I was going to miss. I blew it way past the hole, and I had like a 5-footer coming back, or else we'd lose. And I made the 5-footer, and we went back and played
we
one overtime.
We did play
overtime,
one more hole,
but
we tied
we're backing
again.
Up the whole course.
We were in everybody's way. My favorite part about that, though,
is
I forget who was recording it on their phone. Somebody's got it on their phone somewhere.
No, it's social had it.
As the putt is rolling towards the hole, you start doing play-by-play.
Right. Oh, so, I do that when I play with my friends.
That's what I mean, but it's not like some...
I said some lines of, you did not.
No. And then, it was a professional NBA broadcaster calling it. It wasn't like one of your buddies screaming the F word a bunch of times as it dropped.
Did you hit it?
And
he said, did he say?
It was something like, no,
it was
he didn't.
No, he didn't. No, you didn't.
I thought he was going to say, got it.
No.
Like yesterday.
No, it wasn't that.
Bang!
He gave me more of a hometown call, even though it went against you along the way. All right, we talk about this every week, as long as it's still going, so it's still going. All three of us in the eliminator pool had Miami. Okay. Miami won last week, so even if they'd lost,
all right,
so
a little background on this. Travis, I got Travis into this eliminator pool that I've been in for years, and a couple of years ago, I think I got you in it. And Travis this year is the lone survivor. And there are two other people that have survived. Yep. And you have tried to cut a deal to chop, right?
So we've had four people. Once you get to four, you can offer to split. The commissioner offers to split, but everybody needs to take it.
Yeah, who is not agreeing?
I don't know. It's all done anonymously. Okay. So we went from four. We got down to four people in 6 weeks.
Right.
Then one of the guys lost in week seven.
Okay.
And then the rest of us have been alive up until right now. So this will be week 13 going into next week.
Nobody wants to split?
At least one of the three of us does not.
It sounds like there's one.
So who do you have left?
So here are the three games. These are my best three options. Okay. None of them are good.
Okay.
Okay? And
but that's you're getting to the point where you're going to be up against that.
Yes. Now, so are they, theoretically.
Okay. Yeah.
I could take the Chargers in Vegas against the Raiders.
Wouldn't touch it.
Okay? That's arguably the third best option I have.
Would not touch it.
I could take the Seahawks against the Rams here in town. The Seahawks on the road against a Rams team probably playing a third-string quarterback.
Like that one to the Raiders.
I don't like that. I love it.
Okay, good. It makes me feel better. That's the one that I have second on my list.
Okay.
The last one is not so much about the team I have to pick. It's who they're playing against.
Okay.
Okay? I have the Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson making his return in Houston against the Texans.
Well, number one. All three of those are road teams, right?
Exactly.
So you don't have a home team that you can take.
No, not that I would want
to. My unwritten rule was never take a road team unless you have to.
There are literally no good options at home.
Based on those three choices, I would take the Seahawks over the Rams.
I would probably take the Seahawks as the most likely, unless you want to risk maybe getting too cute by half and looking at the rest of the schedule moving forward for all three teams.
John, you want to take this one? It's survive in advance, right?
I know that, but I'm just saying at this point.
You never look ahead.
At this point, though, you might have a better option for Seattle moving forward. You definitely might not have a better option for Cleveland
moving forward. The Pandora's box you have opened is how more people get crushed in Survivor than anything else.
How gamblers win road games.
But no, that's how you have to play the week in Survivor. You have to play week
in
front of
Survivor
you.
Pool. I know it works.
I have the Niners left. Like they're my best team left.
Who are they playing?
Miami.
In Miami?
In San Francisco. But Miami's lost. They haven't lost a game where the Tua started and finished.
It's a good game.
It's Mike McDaniel going back to San Francisco, and he knows every play in that playbook.
Yep. And look, the Niners, I think, are a really good team. McCaffrey's made them even better, but they're playing against a very good team.
I think you're taking the Seahawks. They're coming off of a bad loss to the Raiders. So they need to win. They're tied for the division, and the Rams stink.
I think that, you're picking against the opponent as much as anything else, right? And the Rams and the Houston Texans are the teams to pick against.
Do you know if anyone else still has the Seahawks?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
So the air quote good teams.
Yeah.
I'm the last one that has the Niners left, and we all have Minnesota left. Nobody's taken Minnesota yet.
Okay.
So those are the good teams.
Who are they playing?
Minnesota plays, I'd have to look. I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, because they're a good team. I think I would feel pretty good about taking the Seahawks.
Especially if there's no Aaron Donald.
No Jets, Aaron Donald. Vikings.
There may be no Aaron Jets, Donald, Vikings. No Cooper Kupp,
right.
No Matthew Stafford.
In Minneapolis, Al?
Yep.
They play the Jets.
It's not a bad one to take.
Mike White lit it up. Can I get Zach Wilson?
given those two choices, I'd take the Seahawks.
Did you guys, you were working, you probably didn't see it, John. Did you guys watch how Monday Night Football ended last night, where Jeff Saturday's rampant inexperience was on display?
What, did he forget to call timeout or something?
Three times.
Yeah, you told the story this morning. We're watching the Lakers game, but
and what's funny about that was I've seen Jeff Saturday on Get Up just harangue coaches for clock mismanagement.
Okay, so you tell me. Minute to go, the Colts are down a touchdown. They're driving. They're moving the ball. They get to a weird situation where it's like second and 17. Matt Ryan, who is the ghost of what he used to be, he takes off and picks up like 15 of the 17 yards. It's third and two, and there's about 40 seconds left. They have three timeouts.
Okay.
Three timeouts left, and they just they let everybody catch up to the play. They line up. They look around.
So you wasted 20-plus seconds.
And then they run a play.
The ball.
They run a play to Jonathan Taylor, who loses 3 yards.
Run a play.
Run
Emphasis
a play.
Emphasis on run
yes,
a play.
Yes, run a play. Now you call a timeout. They don't get it on fourth down.
So they have two timeouts
Two timeouts left on the board at the end of the game.
Right. You've stumbled into a pet peeve of mine. I never can understand why you would ever end a game with timeouts, a close game with timeouts
never.
In your pocket.
Darvin Ham did
last
night.
What's the point? Right. I mean,
I have no idea. Is there an explanation?
Well, there's, you know, you said Darvin Ham. There's a theory in the NBA where you could say, hey, I don't want the other team to set up. I already know what I'm going to do. The game is tied. Let's end the game right here. But in the NFL, if you have three
and
timeouts and the clock is ticking, and let me regroup here for a quick second. There's obviously no explanation
hey,
for that.
Let me ask you guys about the end of the Laker game, and then I know you got to go. But so the Lakers are up two. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are seconds remaining. At the time this happened, I think the Pacers had attempted 47 threes.
Mm.
All right. So Michael and I look at each other and we say, they're on the second night of a back-to-back. They're going to shoot a three here.
Go for the win, yep.
Yeah, if I'm the Lakers, I defend the three-point line at all costs. If they get a two and it goes overtime, at least I can win it. So not only did they give up one really good look to Nebhard that won the game, but Miles Turner was
had a great
open
look too.
Right before that. And I wonder...
Is that what Darvin was talking about? He said, this one's on me?
Yeah, maybe. But I think also they scored on seven of their last eight possessions, yeah. And Darvin's a big defense first guy.
Well, I mean, that's also why I think it's curious that the Lakers ended that game with timeouts in Darvin Ham's pocket. Like, because clearly they were getting confused about something because they were letting a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter go to dust.
Yeah, well, it's one thing when you're Phil Jackson and you're letting Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal work their way through it. It's another thing when you got this group who's struggling and kind of up and down and all over the place. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, well, there was a situation with about 8 seconds left where they had to bring the ball in. Halliburton had to bring. That's when you use the timeout.
Yeah,
and you grab your guys and go, look, no matter what, don't give up a three.
Mm-hmm. USA is into the knockout round, 1-0 against.
And coming up
Iran.
Next, the Team USA post game show.
That and Mason and Ireland. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A birthday growl for Jorge Briones.
Happy birthday, Jorge.
Happy birthday, you, Jorge. How old of a man are you today?
36 today. 36.
Oh, you're a pup.
Yeah.
You're a toddler. Yes, I have shoes older than you. It's Jorge's birthday, so without further ado, Jorge, we decided that you shouldn't have to go through your birthday without a very large bottle of tequila. So if you turn around.
You turn around here, right?
That
here.
Is from us to you.
All right.
Carlo went out and got it this morning. We passed the hat.
Ooh.
Now, I voted.
Look at that.
I wanted to get you a Casa Azul.
Yeah.
And
that is Casa Azul.
It is.
Oh, you did. So you went back to what I wanted
Ooh.
To do.
Right, yeah. We went to the Casa Azul.
Okay.
But it's the Blanco. We didn't have the Reposado. Was
okay.
It was very, very, very
it doesn't
expensive.
Doesn't matter. It has the same effect.
No, that's
so
good
happy
stuff.
Birthday. If you want to break it open.
Yeah.
In honor of USA's victory, you're more than
Absolutely.
Welcome to and
Thank
get
you.
Hammered. Now, this is the official
shots.
Team USA post game show. Andy and I, between the two of us, don't know a whole hell of a lot about World Cup soccer, but I don't know. I'm serious about this. I don't know how the families of the Team USA players make it through this. I have no vested interest. I don't know anyone on Team USA. I've never worked for a soccer team. I don't, you know, I'm not into it. But when the World Cup rolls around, I know how important it is. You can go to bars and restaurants and see this. And I'm like sitting on the edge of my seat the entire time. If you want to weigh in on this stuff, by the way, we're going to open the phones and we're going to talk about the Laker game. We're going to talk about Team USA. We're going to talk, if you hear anything you want to jump in on, 877-710-3776. 877-710-3776. I would have been hugely disappointed had the USA blown this. Maybe it's because the Lakers blew a game last night that I thought they should have won. But, man, had Team USA blown this, I would have been in a funk today.
Well, I think some of it's just the pressure of knowing this happens every 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have, like, the Lakers, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this a lot, inexplicably blew a 17-point fourth-quarter lead against the Pacers, and it's really monumental in a season where they're already trying to salvage this thing. But they get another crack at it tomorrow versus Portland.
Right.
Like, you've got, what, almost 60 games left to try to make something of this. For Team USA, if they don't win, like, they can't even tie. If they do not win, it's over. And then you have to wait 4 years, and you don't even know if they're going to be in it in 4 years.
And this was a weird game.
I understand how all this works correctly.
Yeah, and I think you absolutely nailed it. All right, so there's a group stage in the World Cup, and two teams from each group advance. Now, Jorge, if I screw any of this up, just jump in and correct me.
All right.
So, Team USA was in a group with England, Wales, and Iran. All right? So, two of those teams are going to advance, and two of those teams are going home. As Andy, you pointed out, had the USA even tied this game, they were out. They had to win it outright. And Christian Pulisic, who's our best player, he's a kid from Pennsylvania, but he's... Jorge, is he the best U.S. soccer player ever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, he's the best player the country has ever produced. And he's better than Landon Donovan was.
Really?
So, all of a sudden, everybody's asking, you know, first game we play against Wales, it's a tie. Second game we play against England, it's a 0-0 tie. And we're like, all right, where's the beef here? Come on. Like, what? Ties? I mean, this is boring as hell. What do we want to tie for? So Christian Pulisic basically sells out his body in the first half of this game and throws his body at the front of the goal, heads the ball into the net, and then crashes full speed into the goaltender. He's probably got a concussion. He tried to come back and play a little bit, but he was running around like a drunk fraternity guy at a party, and the medical staff said, this isn't smart, and they pulled him off the field.
It's abdominal, by the way. He got hit in the lower nether regions.
So do you think it's...
it's an abdominal injury is what they're saying.
Well, are you saying it's more of a groin injury?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. More like a Charlie kind of on his leg. Yeah.
So we don't know if Pulisic will be available on Saturday, but it doesn't matter because we're into the next round. Now, Jorge, is the next round single elimination? You lose
it
your
is.
Out?
From this point forward, it's single elimination.
For everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we started with 32, and now we're in the next round, we're going to 16.
Yes.
Okay.
And then if it's a tie at the end of regulation, do they go to the penalty
kicks?
Extra
time, I think, and then penalties.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, the USA is onto it. They win 1-0. Pulisic gets the goal, and we can all breathe a sigh of relief. And now we get to all do it again on Saturday, which for me is good because I'm going to be the Lakers leave on a 6-game East Coast road trip on Thursday. And Andy, one of the reasons why that loss last night for the Lakers was such a bad loss is because they play Portland here tomorrow, a team that's already beat them at Crypto. And then they go on a road trip where they've got to play on the road against, among others, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., where Kristaps Porzingis scored 41 points last night in a blowout. Cleveland, who's already beaten them. They have to go to Philadelphia and play Joel Embiid. They have to go to Toronto, who's really good. And then they go to Detroit, a game they should win. But that loss last night was painful. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But I don't want to get off of the World Cup stuff yet. The reason why these World Cup games, to me, are so interesting is that the entire world is watching. It's not just Laker fans. It's not Clipper fans. It's everybody. It's the everybody in every country around the world is living and dying with this thing. And Jorge, did you put in that soccer clip from the captain of the Team USA? You're going to have to play it because I don't have it. I wanted to play some. I mean, when the whole world is watching, Andy, there's a lot of pressure. And I wanted to illustrate it a little bit. What you're about to hear is a masterclass in how to handle a tough question in an interview setting. The flip side of this would be what Zach Wilson of the Jets did last week, which may in part lead to him being run out of New York when somebody said, do you feel like you let your team down? And he said, and you let your defense down. And he said, absolutely not. You know, any, I think he threw for 100 yards and was like 9 of 30.
Wrong answer.
Yeah. I mean, he just didn't get it. So let me set the stage before this game. With Iran, the captain of the U.S. men's national team is a guy named Tyler Adams. And Tyler Adams is African-American. He was at a podium, and a reporter from Iran blatantly tries to embarrass him by being hostile. And this is what you do when a reporter tries to trick you or tries to make you put you on the defensive. What this Iranian reporter is doing is he's fishing for a soundbite, and he wants Tyler Adams to get mad. What Tyler Adams did was an absolute home run. Here's the whole exchange.
You say you support the Iranian people, but you're pronouncing our country's name wrong. Our country is named Iran, not Iran. Please, once and for all, let's get this clear. Second of all, are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people in its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movement over the past few years.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. That being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. I grew up in a white family with obviously an African American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that, and obviously it takes longer to understand. And through education, I think it's super important. Like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So, it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
That's how you handle a guy trying to embarrass you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I don't even know how much he was trying to embarrass Tyler Adams, as he was in a lot of ways trying to embarrass America.
Right.
Because it really was more of
Isn't it the same thing?
Well, in this...
He's the captain of Team USA.
Right,
I mean,
but if Tyler Adams had been... or if it had been a different player than Tyler Adams, I imagine he would have asked some version of the same question.
Right.
Because it's really more of a geopolitical question than something directly related to Tyler Adams. And I think if somebody else had been up there, he would have asked the same version of it. But yeah, he handled that extremely well, like in terms of the mispronunciation thing, which is interesting. I saw a lot of Twitter reaction to it and people pointing out, and I don't even know if this is correct or not, but I thought it was interesting, the idea of mispronunciation versus sort of regional, geographic, where you live, you know, country-wise. Like sometimes
different places pronounce things different ways.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like Italy versus Italia, like something like that.
Right.
But also, too, I thought he did a good job of expressing American pride without moving it in the direction of the stereotypical ugly American.
Yeah.
Where he did a really good job acknowledging America's own faults and the ways that it needs to get better, but by also looking like he was very proud of representing America in this tournament. I thought he handled it quite well.
And if you're just joining us, Team USA is on to the next round. They won 1-0 today against Iran,
and they are will play the Netherlands in a single elimination game on Saturday. Winner moves on, loser goes home. But they are into the round of 16. They are out of the group stage, which was the goal all along, and they did it on Jorge Briones' birthday.
Yeah.
Even though you're rooting.
The extra motivation, yeah. I'm sure they had.
Yeah. So, and Mexico's into the next round too, right?
No. They got to play for their, that's tough for them tomorrow.
So that's tomorrow. So you've that's got, well, yeah, that's your other team. You've got to kind of whip them through. But Netherlands, U.S. is Saturday early, 9 a.m. Eastern. So 6 o'clock on the West Coast. I'll be back east, so I'll get the chance to watch it in the morning. But that is the big story of the day. Team USA on to the next round. All right, coming up next, a Laker game with more bells and whistles and more weird stuff happening than I can remember, and we'll explain all of it coming up next. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, today it's Andy Kamenetsky in Ireland. Mace is out today. It's Jorge Briones' birthday.
Hey.
We just gave him a big bottle of tequila. Hopefully he drinks it before the end of the show.
I want a shot.
And last night, Michael and I did the Laker game at Crypto.com Arena. I still, Andy, it's now more than, 15 hours later. I'm not sure how the Lakers lost this game, but they did. And what was weird, it was a very festive atmosphere.
Yes, it was.
All right, so crypto was hopping, and a couple of things happened that made the game really fun to be at. The first thing that happened is the Lakers game operations staff does a really good job of, I always tell people that if you go to a, I'll just use the Clippers as an example. If you go to a Clipper game, you're just going to a basketball game. If you're going to a Laker game, you're going to an LA-centric event. Like if you live in Los Angeles and you've never been to a Laker game in person, you should really put that on your bucket list. If you're looking for something to do, you're looking for somebody to get you a Christmas present, whatever. It's really, really fun to be there in person. I think, Andy, sometimes you and I forget that because we get in as working press.
Well, I mean, we're also not there to necessarily have the fun time that everybody else is there to have.
I mean,
there's certain things we can't partake in.
So, such as, they do a thing where they look for the quote-unquote fan of the game. Now, there once was a time, I've worked for the Lakers for more than 20 years, there once was a time where the Lakers were super conservative, they didn't want to rock the boat, they wanted everything to be very clean and professional, and so I was a little bit surprised when they were shooting fans, and normally if you want to be fan of the game, you got to be dressed up, you've got to be in a lot of Laker gear. It helps if you're dancing or singing or doing something. It's almost like Star Search. You're like doing something up there. I just dated myself. Star Search. When's does any of you know what that is? What would you call it now? It's, America's Got Talent?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay. So they come upon a woman. Her name is Annika Hutzler. All right. She's a United States Marine Corps vet. And she has a prosthetic leg, okay? So she has a leg that detaches. And Annika, at one point, when they had her on the screen, here's number one, Andy Kamenetsky, and you're there and you're dancing and you got a lot of Laker gear on. Here's fan number two, Annika. She takes off her prosthetic leg, pours a drink into it, and then drinks it out of the leg. And the place goes crazy. It's all over Twitter if you want to see it. If you just Google Laker fan prosthetic leg, it'll come right up. First of all,
there's not multiple stories with that. Like you don't have to worry about getting the correct one.
No. First of all, Annika, thank you for your service. Always get love shouting out military personnel. And second of all, shout out to the Lakers game operations staff, because I think 20 years ago they would have went, oh, we can't show that. Not only did they show it, they immediately made her fan of the game and celebrate, and the place went crazy. She got like a standing ovation, so it was really neat.
Well, I mean, you're not going to top that. I can promise you nobody in that crowd
but they tried.
For fan of the game.
Okay.
Two things popped in my head, by the way, watching that. First of all, that's awesome. And like you said, thank you for your service. And she seems like she's an awesome person.
Right.
Second thing, is that sanitary?
No. Michael was appalled. Michael Thompson, who is a neat freak and is a germaphobe, was horrified. I celebrated it. I thought it was fantastic.
I celebrated it, too. I was like, that's amazing. Is that okay?
Yeah. The other thing that happens.
It's her tequila, whatever it is.
Yeah, I guess the alcohol kills her.
It's hers, yeah.
Okay, so the other thing.
It's hers.
Yeah. The other thing that happens is at the end of the third quarter for every Laker home game, MGM in Las Vegas, the MGM Grand, does the MGM Big Shot Jackpot. They've been doing it for years. Basically, they pick a fan out of the crowd. They give him one shot at half court. You got no warm-up, nothing. You got one shot. If it goes in, you get the jackpot. And last night, the jackpot was up to $75,000. So they picked a guy out of the crowd who was sitting in the top deck. When he came in, what happens is the Lakers game operations staff kind of hangs out in the hallway. And when they see people come in before the game, they look for somebody that, you know, might be athletic, might have a little game in them. They think, that guy might be good. Normally, it's somebody on the younger side. That guy might be good to take the MGM Big Shot jackpot. So they pick this kid, Jamie. I shouldn't call him a kid. He looks like a kid. He's got a baby face. His name is Jamie Murray. He's 24. He's from Downey. And Jamie gets out there, and it was almost like a baseball pass, Andy. Have you seen the video of this?
Yeah.
Jamie winds up, throws it, and it's in the air. And Michael and I are looking at it, and we're like, that's online. I don't, you know, the big question is, do they ever get it there? 90% of these people are short. His ball, good trajectory, hits the backboard, goes right through the net. 75 grand. He starts doing the gritty, the Justin Jefferson thing, you know, and the thing. And the Laker players are so surprised that they start, AD comes over and hugs him, you know, Westbrook comes over and high-fives him. Then he does a media tour. He goes over, they give him his 75 grand. He comes up, sits with Michael and I. We interviewed him for a few minutes. Today he was on NBA Today with Malika.
Dave McMenamin interviewed him yesterday at the game.
So he becomes star. Now keep in mind, Annika is already the star of the night for drinking out of her prosthetic leg. Now Jamie Murray wins 75 grand. So, and at the time he hits the shot, I took note. The Lakers are up 101-84. They're up by 17, and we're going to the fourth. And then the roof caved in. The Lakers stopped playing defense. They had been playing pretty good defense throughout the night. In the fourth quarter, they fell apart. Indiana scored on 7 of their last 8 possessions. And it looked like the Lakers were going to get away with it. They were up 2 with 8 seconds left, and all they had to do was come up with one stop, but they didn't do it. And Andrew Nembhard, a rookie from Gonzaga, threw in a 3-pointer, and the Lakers lose by 1. Andy, it was it was such a fun night. And so many things going on. And then it was just like somebody came in. It's like the cops showed up at a party and said, everybody go home. It was brutal.
You mentioned all the celebration happening from the people in the crowd. There was also a lot of celebration happening on the court. Like Russell Westbrook was in full on entertainer mode. Like in the second half.
Well, he's playing to the crowd more than I've ever seen.
I mean, he rocked every baby after every shot. He was flexing. He was doing dances. And look. Russ, for a lot of this game in the second half, was spectacular as a scorer, as a distributor. It was, in that half, maybe the best he had played as a Laker. And you could tell there was some extra juice there because he knows he's been linked in these rumors to Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. And his energy to me felt very, I got your Miles Turner and Buddy Hield right here, friendo. Like, yeah. You could tell he was aware of all this, but they may have over-celebrated a bit themselves.
Yeah. Well, and especially with the way things ended. So, by the way, I have a thought on the potential Miles Turner, Buddy Hield trade that I'll share with you coming up next. Up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions and we'll take some of your phone calls at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We've thrown a lot of stuff at you, a lot of World Cup talk, a lot of Laker talk, whatever you want to talk about. Phone lines are open. This is interesting. Okay. For the purpose of this question, anyone you think of or ask will say yes, okay? Here's the question.
Okay.
If you could pick one professional to mentor you, who would it be and why? So anybody alive, can't be somebody dead, obviously, but anybody alive and they'll say yes. Jorge, it's your birthday. Anybody alive will say yes. Okay. Who you want to mentor you?
I think I'll go with Magic Johnson.
Ooh, that's a
Magic
good
Johnson's
answer.
Well, you know, he's well known. He's like, you know.
Well, I mean, he might just throw you a Starbucks.
There you go.
You know?
Magic Johnson would be the answer.
All right. Just for the effort.
Bergman, what's your answer?
I'm stuck between two, but I think I'm going to go with Dan Patrick.
Well, that's a good answer.
Because he is.
But what's interesting about that is, Greg.
Oh, I knew this was coming. That's why I did this.
Okay. Bergman and I are friends. We like each other, but we completely disagree about what a good sports radio show is.
Agreed.
I want a lot of guests, a lot of calls. I want it to be a sports bar without the liquor. Greg wants no guests and no calls.
I want it to be a sports bar without the liquor as well.
Dan Patrick is all guests, all calls, all the time.
Different, but when he also his. The way that he interviews people are very short, quick questions, and he gets a lot out of them.
Right.
I think sometimes we go really long on them. I also like the way that he just, how he works with all of the people around him. There's never any talk over with any of the people on the show. So there's a lot, I just think he's a very smart
it's
broadcaster.
It's a good answer to the question. Andy, what is your answer?
I'm going to go.
Oh, wait, who's the other one?
The other one's going to be Howard Stern, which
That's
is another
my answer.
Guy. Oh, Howard Stern's your
yeah,
answer?
That was my answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would pick Howard Stern just because I think that. He's the best broadcaster alive today. I was watching last night on HBO. He did a 2-hour thing with Springsteen.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You know, he's just really good. Andy, what popped into your head?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
PTA.
PTA, the director.
Okay.
Because, you know,
I may get to meet him one day.
Really?
So here's how. So this is a weird connection. The place where I play golf is one of the guys that's at the golf course a lot is Dick Rudolph. Dick Rudolph is Maya Rudolph's father.
Right. And he's married
SNL,
to Maya Rudolph.
And he's married to, or Maya's married to PTA. And PTA, they have 4 kids. Mm-hmm. By the way, have you seen her show Loot?
I have not, but
You'd
I love her.
You'd it's
love
pretty good.
It. Yeah, it's very, very good. It's on Apple. You should check
she
it out.
She is so funny on the show Big Mouth. She does one of the voices on it. She is just
so I don't
hysterical.
Know what the scenario would be under which I could, but I know his father-in-law.
Well, the reason I chose Paul Thomas Anderson is there's always a part of me that is going to wonder about staying on the path that I had originally wanted to go on, which was screenwriting and, you know, making movies, making television.
Does he have a better movie than Boogie Nights, or is that it?
Boogie Nights is phenomenal.
I know.
Boogie
I think it's almost
there will,
a perfect
there will
movie.
Be, yeah. There
and
will
my
be,
guy Don Cheadle's in that.
Yep. There Will Be Blood is really, really good. I loved Phantom Thread. Mm-hmm. That's a great movie. But Boogie Nights is my favorite of all of his movies. But he also, he writes, he directs, he does his own editing. He's capable of doing everything. But even if, say, I didn't learn specifically from film, about film from Paul Thomas Anderson, just creativity. I think he's somebody that you could learn a lot for general creativity, which is something that I always try to bring to whatever I do.
So the interesting thing about Boogie Nights is, and I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he pulled it off. But if you watch that movie, you find yourself rooting for people that are absolutely nothing like you. In other words, like Julianne Moore in that movie is a bad wife. She sleeps around on Burt Reynolds. She's a bad mom. She's got a huge drug habit. You find yourself rooting for Julianne Moore at every turn. And when she keeps stepping on landmines throughout the whole movie. And every time she does, you feel bad for her. You end up rooting for Mark Wahlberg, even though he goes down this dark path and ruins his career. You find yourself rooting for Cheadle. You find yourself rooting for everybody in that movie. And it's great. Well, I don't know how he did it.
Well, he brings humanity to all the characters. Like, you can tell, as much as there are elements of the life that he makes fun of, and, you know, like, a few of them are not that smart, he never condescends with them. Like, he clearly loves these characters. Like, Dirk Diggler, that character, was somebody that he actually invented in high school. You know, he grew up in the industry and, you know, was surrounded. I mean, he was surrounded by the Hollywood industry, but also growing up in the Valley was surrounded by the adult industry. So those were two things that he was very hyper aware of as a young kid. And he created that character, Dirk Diggler, as a high schooler and made a short film.
And that was the beginning of it.
And that was the beginning of it.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. That's a good answer,
too. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Don Cheadle's birthday, too, by the way.
Today?
Yeah.
Same birthday as you. Yes, all right, happy birthday, Cheadle. All right, we got some people online. Here's Eddie in Marina Del Rey. I think he wants to talk about the World Cup. Hey, Eddie.
Yeah, great show, you guys. Every day, appreciate it very much. Thank you. Listen, what I'm going to use as a word is how important this game was tonight. John, I read this morning this tournament cost $220 billion to put on. That's amazing. And guess where it is controversial. Who we play is controversial. We have 22 athletes in this country that showed us today when the chips are down, America comes back. And when you read the uniforms, John, it doesn't say Los Angeles Lakers or New York Knicks. It says USA. And you know what? The whole country was supporting this team. Not a city like the Super Bowl. There's some people in Alabama and Mississippi who don't really care about the Super Bowl. But everybody cared about this game this morning because we were going to go home if we lost. Now, similar is the Olympics. But you don't really go home in the Olympics. It's not really. It's just
right. You hang around and you go to the closing ceremonies. And yeah, you're right. This would have been get on a plane and get your ass home.
Right.
Yeah.
This is amazing, and it shows America at its best. When the chips are down, the USA comes through.
Thank you, Eddie. Guys. Good call. It is. I have no explanation, Andy, for why I get so uptight watching these games, but I do.
I think it's just you've spent enough time in sports that you understand the pressure these athletes are going through.
Oh, it's just and by the way, every time that Iran got a shot on goal, I was like, it's going in. This is it. Blah, blah, blah. It was unbelievable.
And about the U.S. Soccer Federation is saying that Christian Pulisic has been taken to the hospital with an abdominal injury.
Ooh.
So it doesn't say whether he's going to be able to play or not on Saturday.
Maybe broken ribs. Could
have been a lot of things.
Yeah, so we'll see whether or not. I think that if they lose Saturday, they still had a good World Cup. Because Jorge, would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was one of the toughest groups to get out of.
Yeah, so getting out of the group stage in a group with England and Wales and Iran is pretty good.
Still a great night.
Still a great night. Here's Dave and a girl wants to talk NBA. Hey, Dave, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hi, I'm actually a Clipper fan, and I have a little beef about the scheduling, and I was wondering, I guess you may not know the answer.
Okay, try
Greg
it.
Said he already asked you this, but in the month of November, six times the Lakers had a team on a back-to-back that just played the Clippers the night before, whereas one time it went the other way, but that was when both teams had back-to-backs and the teams just swapped.
Right. There are all sorts of scheduling quirks, Dave, that you can point out. Those things normal. Every team has between 11 and 14 back-to-backs, so they're all the same. Sooner or later, that situation's going to reverse. I'll give you an example of why I'd rather have the Clippers schedule than the Lakers schedule. The Lakers are out of town this year on every single holiday. They're out of town on Thanksgiving. They're out of town on Christmas Eve. They're out of town on Christmas Day. They're out of town on New Year's Eve. They're out of town on New Year's Day. On top of that, in the month of December, which starts tomorrow, or I guess it starts Thursday, the Lakers have 16 games. That's more than any team in the NBA. And 12 of them are on the road, most of them back east. So even though it looked like in November that the Clippers kind of got screwed, trust me, the Lakers are getting screwed coming up.
It's really hard to have a whole 82-game schedule that's easy. Yeah. Like that, it's borderline impossible.
Dave, I think you could go to every team and say, what do you think of the schedule? And they will have some type of complaint. I'm sure the Clippers noticed exactly what you noticed and said, hey, guys, come on, how about letting us have the second end of the back-to-back? And by the way, Dave, I should point out that in the case of Indiana, the one that just happened, the Clippers won and the Lakers lost. So just because you're on the second leg of a back-to-back doesn't mean that that's better.
You could actually argue that in LA in particular, when people talk about the trap that is LA nightlife,
right,
you might be better off getting the first of the two nights because that could be the night the team is more likely to go out.
Yeah, but that I think everybody feels like everybody complains about the schedule.
So I just took a call, and I'm not going to say who it was, but he just had the Mason's Grubhub password question.
Yeah.
He got it right on the money.
Wow.
Got it right on the money.
That's the third person we know that's got it. And Mason can't get it. He can't figure it out. Somebody tweeted it to Greg and I. I ran into somebody in Phoenix, and now Greg just got a call.
Yep.
And Mason cannot figure it out.
Let me ask you this, because I genuinely don't know it. Nobody's told me it.
Yep.
You're a big part of this all, by the way.
Is it actually pretty obvious?
Yes. Don't guess on the air, but off the air, I bet you can get it. And I'll let you ask a series. You can ask as many yes or no. We've given Mason 20 yes or no questions.
Yeah, I know. Like, I've heard some of these.
All right, so I'll give you five.
Okay.
All right, and you can do them during the breaks. And my guess is that with the five, you will get it before the end of the show.
Okay.
And he, for the life of him, cannot get it. Can't do it.
It's amazing.
Here's Jake in Burbank. Wants to talk World Cup. Hey, Jake, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, love it and love the talk that they're getting. And what's even more amazing, our best athletes in general in this country all play football and basketball. They don't grow up playing soccer as their number one sport.
Correct.
If we had all our best athletes playing soccer, we would be so much better off. But these guys have been incredible. So the ones who get there against all odds, and the performance today was just phenomenal. They deserved it. And I think they got a real shot to beat the Netherlands, because the Netherlands is going to look at us and think, eh, whatever, same old Americans. But this team is not. It is young, it is aggressive, and it is very good.
It's a great point and a good call, Jake. Thank you for calling. I'm, you know, for lack of a better word, I'm proud of those guys, man. I thought that they were probably going to, when the situation, everybody said, well, we'll beat Iran. We couldn't score over there. Like, the first game was a 1-1 tie, and the second game was a 0-0 tie, and today was a 1-0 game. Andy, we've scored 2 goals in 3 games, and somehow we're going on to the next round. I mean, that's hard to do.
Now, I have, full disclosure, not been following this much, and by much, I mean at all.
Yeah.
Does Iran, do they advance?
No.
So they're done.
England, is England through, Jorge?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so England and U.S. are through, and that group E is done.
So
they're done.
So was Iran in a situation where, as long as they didn't lose, they were okay?
Correct. I think either team had a win to go, like, to advance.
Okay. No, Iran would have advanced with a tie.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the U.S. had to win the game outright, and now you're into single elimination, so there's going to be a winner. They'll go extra time, they'll go penalty kicks, whatever, they'll figure it out.
It would be really interesting to know exactly, like, from a group psychology with Iran, how the pressure shifted in that game from knowing, okay, as long as we hold serve at 0-0, which is a totally possible score, we're good, to all of a sudden, okay, we need a goal. We need a goal now.
Yeah.
And in soccer, that is not easily delivered. That would be really, really fascinating to know.
Okay. Coming up next, I'm going to do a little experiment. Andy, a full disclosure, I hate with a capital H, cancel culture. I hate people. I think we throw people away for making mistakes, and that's stupid.
Okay.
Yet, you will not believe who somebody we know and like is trying to cancel. It's staggering to me. But the other day, I stood up for somebody that was getting canceled, and people crushed me. So I will throw this at you, and
lay
you tell
me
if this, it's not a person. Well, technically it is a person.
technically it's a person.
You'll understand more when I explain it next. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.